I've chosen the piece of scripture which is one which I would have used at my own church today, and it's out of John chapter 11. For those who know the story, it's the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus is ill unto death. Now, what's happening? I keep cutting out. Just keep talking and I'll keep going. Okay. That's as good as, this is as good as speaking through a translator, isn't it? Right? So you've got to learn to make the stops when you make the stops. Anyway, the story of Lazarus. Who? Huh? Friends, aren't they? So if you're a real special friend and Jesus is a real special friend and you go... Because our brother is not well and he's going to... Don't know what's going to happen to him. And so the story goes on that Jesus gets this message from them. And after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk in the night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I am going there to awaken him. Now the disciples, I think, are like you and I. Sometimes when we read scripture, we don't actually get the message, do we? Because I know I don't. And I can read the same passage two or three times and not get it. Well, that's just what the disciples were like, aren't they? Oh, he's only going to be asleep. We'll probably get there early in the morning and wake him up. Hey? Ah, Jesus, no. You haven't got it right. He's actually died. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And I'll leave it there for a minute. Now, this is one of three stories about Jesus raising somebody from the dead. And to me, it seems to be a progression of stories as we go. Now, we go to one of them, and in John's Gospel, it talks about Jesus healing the daughter of one of the synagogue leaders. And the words say, she had just died. And Jesus comes, and when he goes to the house, he says, no, she's not dead, she's only asleep, and I'm going to wake her up. But the rest of you can get out of here, because I just want mum and dad here, and my disciples. And so he goes, and he takes her hand, and she wakes up, as if she was just asleep. So here, Jesus raises somebody up who has just died. The next story happens in Nain. And Jesus and his disciples are walking towards the town. And coming out of the town is a funeral progression. And a young man is on a bier being carried out. And mum is in absolute tears. And mum's in tears for a number of reasons. No more than the fact that she is a widow. When a son dies, she has nobody to look after her. And so she's pretty sad. Now this is happening probably in the afternoon. Now this young man now therefore has been dead for a number of hours. He died maybe earlier in the day, because in Jewish law you have to be buried within the day. And so now he's been taken out to be interned in a tomb somewhere. And Jesus comes along and he says, hey, it's okay. And I love the words here. It says, Jesus had compassion on the widow. No, he has compassion. When somebody has compassion, when you have compassion, what's it say about your emotional sense? You're with that person? You're kind of feeling the same things as they are? Or kind of you're sitting there with them, you've got your hand, maybe your hand on the shoulder. Is that okay? Cool, that's good. And you're feeling that sense of pain with the person and sitting with them. We call it kind of walking a mile in the shoes of the other person. Now, if you don't know what that's like, it's like kind of two kids who are playing out in the school ground. One young guy had brand new shoes on, and he didn't jump in the puddles because it had been raining. The other one said, jump in the a great time. And the other one says, I can't do that. And the other young boy says, well, why not? He said, I've got new shoes on. Oh, look, hey, how about we change shoes? Then we can both do it. Now, the funny thing that happens is the kid who changes into the new shoes, guess what he does? He don't jump in the puddles because he's walking in the other kid's shoes. And that's what it's like. Okay, so that's compassion. Now, Jesus has compassion for this woman. And he loves her. And he just met her, but he loves her. And so the young man is healed and restored to her. And now we go to the third story, which is about Lazarus. Now, Lazarus has not just died yesterday, did he? How many days has he been dead? 4 days, hasn't he? And in fact, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. And I can't remember which one it is, either Mary or Martha. It's going to smell. Don't go there, it's going to smell. No. But, can anybody tell me what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept, and it's in this passage, isn't it? Because Jesus has such compassion for Mary and Martha that he weeps tears for them. How great is that love that's there? How great is the love for Mary and Martha and for Lazarus? And so Jesus goes, out to the site, and he raises Lazarus up. Now, let's backtrack just a little bit. Why did it take Jesus 4 days to get there? Ever thought about why? Why would Jesus? In the reading that I read, he said, "This is for your knowledge that this is happening." This is for you that I'm waiting. And it's waiting so I can show you the glory of God in this place. So that I can show you the beautiful wonders that God is going to do. The other reason is in what the disciples said. Now the disciples said to Jesus, "Hey bro, they want to kill you, get rid of you." And so he may sort of felt a little bit strange. Would you go somewhere where you know you're going to get stoned? Depends how you use the word stoned, I guess. But we won't go there. All right? Naughty, naughty kid. Yeah, so Jesus knows something's going to happen. He also knows that it's coming up Passover. And if you go on into chapter 12 in John's Gospel, you start to read the story that Jesus is now looking at Passover. Now we know that Passover is the right time for Jesus to die, don't we? He can't die any sooner, and he can't die later. Jesus must die at Passover. Because as we'll have here in communion, Jesus is the Passover lamb. And at Passover, on the eve of Passover, the Passover festival, the lambs are slaughtered. And the valley of Kedron runs like a red river. And we know that this is Jesus and he is going to die for us. And we are going to be okay. All this is showing Jesus' love. Thank you for reading from Ezekiel. Because I was actually going to make mention of Ezekiel 37. Now we know God loves us, don't we? And we know it because the Old Testament is a history of God loving Israel. No more than in Ezekiel 36, which you read. But then in Ezekiel 37, he talks about the valley of dry bones. And this is the imagery of Israel, isn't it? Of God calling Israel together. Of God calling Israel into one. So that what can he do? He can breathe his breath into them. As is in Ezekiel 36. Jesus wants to give people a new heart and a new mind. So that he can be their God and they can be his people. And no matter where you go in the Old Testament, you keep getting this story of the love of God. And so our story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha is tied up, all tightly bound up in this love of God for his people. This love of God, no matter where you are. When I was thinking this morning, and talking about the love of people, I remembered something that, in fact, it's the poem on the front of the notes I've given you. And it talks about visiting somebody who was dying. I came and sat by the bed, fragile, gasping for breath. There were long, deep pauses between the breaths. They held on to life with a last gasp. "I'm afraid to die," they gasped. "What about my children? What's after this?" I held their hand. Our eyes met, a tear in each. No words were spoken. A smile filled the gaunt face. "My Lord is here to take my hand." Finally, their eyes closed. They drew their last breath. All was finished quietly in death. I said goodbye, taking their love away in my heart. For Mary and Martha, they wanted Lazarus back with them. They couldn't see as that last little piece of taking the love away in their hearts. They couldn't see in the last little part of this what this all means for you and I. And that love of Jesus for each of us is here demonstrated so much that our hope is to go on with him. And our hope and our love in all of this is to be able to know not a little bit, not this much, but this much, that God is going to bring us back together. There ain't nothing that's going to part, keep us apart. His love for us is so great that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, even in death. I think one of the greatest parts of love that we can read in the, read in the Bible is John 3:16, and everyone should know that. Who doesn't know John 3:16? Cool. For God so loved the world. And whenever you read that verse, take out the word world and put your own name in. For God loved so much that he gave his only son, that, take out the word whoever, when I in him eternal life. And so we can go on. We know that God loves us. We know that he cares for us. Take Psalm 139. And that's the scariest psalm. Why do I say that? Because there, it simply says that God doesn't leave me nor forsake me. God is there in every place I go. Right? You can go to the highest mountain, and where's God? On the highest mountain. You can go to the lowest depth, and where's God? The lowest depth. You can go to the east, where's God? Oh, he's in the east. You can go to the west, where's God? He's in the west. That means that he doesn't leave us anywhere. So his love is with you no matter where you are. No matter how sometimes you may feel the separation. But it's you feeling the separation. He's there. There's the old joke about the guy in my day, we used to have bench seats in the front seat of the car. You know what a bench seat is? It's like the back seat and the front seat, okay? And of course your loved one would always sit beside you and maybe have your hand on your knee or something. It was great driving. It's a bit hard sometimes getting your gears going, but it's great. Then we get these new fing-fangled cars and they've got two seats either side. You know, sometimes you get the husband sitting and saying, you've moved. What's happened to our love? But not with God, because God's always there. He's in the driver's seat with you. He's no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. And this is the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. It's that love that God has for us. There's another piece of poetry that I often use, and comes from a character called Oldie One Kenobi. I must admit it's my alter ego, okay? Because my daughter gave it to me and I use it. It simply says this, when I am no longer here, know that our parting will cause grief and tears. I know it's useless saying, do not cry for me. Then as you weep and cry, feel my hand gently upon your shoulder, or sense my hand gently upon your cheek. As my Lord is sensing and feeling your pain, yes, we have journeyed together for a time, feeling each other's pain and joys. The love that we shared then and even now moves across time, space and place. As we journeyed together, we shared each other's lives, the good and the not so good. And in and through all this, we grew through the experiences. As a result, we were changed and have become who we are. Now, as we continue to travel, although apart, we will still continue to grow and be changed. As we grew together, we took on something of each other. And this is my gift to you. That is, that it is in and through our grief that we must go on, knowing that the essence of the other lives on in us. So weep and cry, for that's normal. Also know that in this I am with you. Know and feel the peace of my Lord's love for you. I love you, my family and friends. And for me, this is what, here we are. And Diana's going to talk about this. But here is the love of God for us. It's not about just remembering who Jesus was, But it's about knowing him right here and now, in the very sense of who we are. And then it's remembering that this is the party we're going to have with him as we go on. This is party time with Jesus. Now, I firmly believe that when we go into heaven, we're going to meet up with all those other parts of those spiritual people that we've known all through our lives. And man, it's going to be party time. I heard a story of a guy the other day who had this vision of heaven. And he said, and he had this kind of vision of walking down the road, and there was some piece of cracked tar on the side of the road. And so I thought, oh, that's part of the road. I'm a bit down and out at the moment, a bit poor. Maybe I should ask God to give me a couple of little bits of the road rubble that's fallen off the roads in heaven. You know, the roads in heaven are paved with gold. And a few days later, he actually got offered a considerable amount of money for something he was trying to sell. So God is a God who is here for us, right where we are. Like for Mary and Martha, Jesus was in the midst of their pain, their suffering, and their joy as Lazarus was raised from the dead and came back to be with them. Jesus uses this as an opportunity to say, this is what's going to happen with me. I am going to conquer death for you. I am the one who's going to bring in the resurrection and the life. And I'm calling each of you to shake off the dry dregs around you. Shake off the scars and bits and pieces of the past, because I want to renew you. I want to give you a new heart. I want to give you a new mind. And I want to be yours. And I want you to be mine. Because from the very beginning of creation, I loved you. And I'm calling you. So as you sit this week, and you go through your journey this week, watch where the little bits of God is in your life. Don't have to have big bits. Just the little bits. And acknowledge them and give thanks. Because he's calling you in the little and the big together. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the story of Lazarus and the way in which you came and raised him. And loving Lord, we see in that you wanting to raise us to new life and to give us a new heart and a new mind, so that we may love you in all that we do and we say, so that each day others may see in us your love through our daily life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.